A court case in Israel involving a Palestinian teenager who slapped an Israeli soldier who was on her land gets underway this week. It's one of the big stories on the international front coming up in the coming days. And joining me for our weekly look at these kinds of stories is the BBC's Rob Hugh Jones. And Rob, let's start with this case. What are the facts here?
Yes, Mark, a fascinating case. Her name is Ahed Tamimi. She's 16 years old. She's now a famous Palestinian prisoner in Israel. And that's because she was arrested in December after coming into contact with Israeli soldiers who were on her land, her family's land, in the occupied West Bank, in a village there. And she took them on, she slapped them and so on, and was arrested for that. On New Year's Day, she was formally charged. Take a listen to our reporter in the West Bank, Yolan Nell.
Ahed Tamimi is charged with 5 counts of assaulting soldiers and with throwing stones. Her mother, Nariman, is charged with incitement on social media and assault. Palestinians describe Ahed as bravely standing up to Israel's occupation of the West Bank. Israelis accuse her family of staging provocations and praise the restraint of the soldiers.
And what's interesting here, Mark, is that that attack that she delivered, if you like, onto those soldiers was filmed, and that video went viral. And that's what makes things so interesting, because so many people saw it and they either came down on her side, i.e. you're fighting a nationalist struggle essentially against an occupation, or they came down on the Israeli side, which was attacking troops of any stripe is a crime. So it's kind of divided the country. And that's why we're watching on Wednesday when she appears in front of an Israeli military court, and we'll see what happens.
Rob, the Prime Minister of the UK, Theresa May, is going on an official visit to China this week. What is expected to come out of that?
Mark, I wouldn't normally tell you about a European leader going to China, but what's kind of interesting is that Theresa May is going on a big visit by her standards this week. Earlier this month, Emmanuel Macron, the French leader, went on a state visit to China. So lots of pictures of him touring places like the Forbidden City in Beijing, the imperial palace there of past dynasties and so on. And this is a big thing that's going on at the moment. Lots and lots of European leaders heading to China. Macron, for example, praised Beijing's commitment to multilateralism and climate change. Well, those are not the kinds of things that Donald Trump is being praised for at the moment, you might notice. So you can see what's going on here. There's a lot of wooing of China by Europe because there is a sense that there is some kind of a vacuum now with the United States. Take a quick listen to some of what Macron said in Beijing.
I think the new Silk Road Initiative can match our interests, those of France and Europe, if we give ourselves the means to work together. After all, the ancient Silk Roads were never just Chinese.
So there you are, Mark. It's all about Silk Roads. It's about trade. It's about wooing China. You hear a lot about US-Chinese relations. Well, Europe is bending over backwards to court the Chinese at the moment.
Rob, the U.S. is gearing up for some elections coming up in the not-too-distant future. There's a big one coming up in Central America, and same-sex marriage is the issue that's really driving the campaign there?
Yeah, really interesting. Costa Rica, not a country we hear much about, is it? It's sandwiched there between Nicaragua and Panama. It's a population of about 5 million, a stable Latin American country. Elections on Sunday, coming up on Sunday, February the 4th. And yes, same-sex marriage is the hot-button issue at the moment. Take a listen to our reporter in Latin America. His name is Alberto Najar.
In recent weeks, the contest took an unexpected turn. The Inter-American Court of Human Rights ordered that marriage between persons of the same sex should be guaranteed. It is a decision for all countries that recognize the court, but in Costa Rica was not well received by society.
So it wasn't well received by society. A lot of people in that country don't want same-sex marriage, and that's why the evangelical candidate in these elections, Fabrizio Alvarado, is doing very well. And interestingly, some of the other candidates in the election are now coming across to his way of thinking, saying the same sorts of things and casting doubt on same-sex marriage. So it's interesting that in this small country, in these coming elections, that is a hot-button issue.
All right, Rob. Now, finally, I know that you are getting your nachos ready for Sunday to watch the Super Bowl. This is obviously a big, big deal in the U.S. How big of a deal is it outside the U.S.? I mean, do people in London, do people in the U.K. care about this?
Well, it's interesting. You might think not, really. But if you go to the biggest stadium in Britain is Wembley Stadium here in London. And you'll see NFL games there sometimes. The Jacksonville Jaguars, for example, play some of their season games there. That will be a sellout over and over again. You'll see 80,000 people go to that. But the really interesting thing here, because that's been going on for some time, what's really interesting now is the timings of these games. Take a listen to our sports reporter, Seth Bennett. He's really interested in when do they kick off these games here in London?
The bonus of playing games in England, all of a sudden, they're 5 hours ahead of the East Coast of the United States, 8 hours ahead of the West Coast, which then means you start to draw in the European market, and as you look further east, to the Asian markets as well, because these games then are on at times that people can watch rather than being when they're in bed. And that's very helpful for the NFL moving forward, just an American sport, but also as a worldwide brand and the partners that they work with along the way.
So there you go, Mark. If you kick an NFL game off in London at 1:30 in the afternoon, lunchtime, that's going to be 9:30 in Singapore. So you can see what they're doing. They're building the European fan base and the African one, because that's roughly the same kind of time zone as London, roughly. But they're also pulling in that late-night Asia audience, and they're looking at China in particular. So when you look at the NFL games in London, which have been going on, as I say, for some time, and by the way, they would love to hold the Super Bowl here at some time. There are a lot of people behind that idea. Also think that what it's really about is building the biggest international fan base, particularly in China.
All right, that's the BBC's Rob Hugh-Jones. Rob, good to talk to you. Thanks as always.
Thanks so much, Mark.